You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. We're opening up the mailbag today. We've got questions about what Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson will average next season, if we could expect the Heat to make some trades this summer, and who the best build-around player in the league is. But let's start with this question from Tuan, who writes in, the Heat are on the clock at 13, with Romeo Langford, Kevin Porter Jr., and Brandon Clark on the board. Who are you guys taking, or are you trading back? David, what do you think here?
Well, can I go back one step further there? I just want to say, you threw up the mailbag signal earlier before we were recording this, and almost immediately, we got this incredible onslaught of questions. Do we have the best listeners or what? I mean, incredible.
Yes.
Just the way they responded, it was amazing. So many great questions, so many different topics, from the trade topics to the draft to why we undervalue players league-wide or our own players on the roster. So lots of great questions here. We'll address all of them if we can, possibly. And as far as Tuan's question, that is really difficult to answer because obviously each of these players has problems with fit or maybe skill set that hasn't necessarily shown that they could translate into the NBA level. We've done a
blue notebook on each of these players. That's part of what makes this a good question too, because we've already done our research on all three of these guys, and we have them on different places on our boards, and we've talked about their fit. But this is sort of the situation where the Heat could find themselves in.
Yeah, and I think this is a pretty realistic one too. So, they're probably doing whatever due diligence on all these players as much as possible before leading up to the draft. But if they find themselves at the clock with all three of these players available, and they haven't, I'm sure, again, that they'll probably have discussed leading up to the draft potential trades. They've got their board, and if these guys are still there at 13, there is a possibility they could be there at 18 or at 19. And so it makes sense to kind of trade back. I think that's the avenue they would pursue. I'm not so sure that I would do it. I think given the kind of talent that these players have and the fact that you're probably not going to get much value for the 13th pick anyway, I feel, and I think you and I are both on the same page of this, that they'll probably select Kevin Porter Jr.
Of those three, yeah, I agree. I think that they'd end up taking Kevin Porter Jr. over Romeo Langford. I know that there's a lot of people split on that, which of those two guards they like more. I just think that Kevin Porter Jr., number one, we like him more.
Yes.
So I guess that's the reason why we would go that way. But Brandon Clark is the best player. In a vacuum. Is head over heels better than those guys right now. But the thing with Brandon Clark, he is 22 years old, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Porter Jr. is 19?
I think so, yeah.
19 years old. So
is Langford.
Right, exactly. And so is Langford. So, three, 4 years from now, could they be as good as Brandon Clark is right now? And that's kind of the issue with guys like Clark when they get into the draft, is that the age does play against them in some way, because teams do bank on that idea, like, okay, well, if we can get this other younger player in our system for 3 or 4 years, we can have this player where Brandon Clark is right now, at least, or even beyond that, as far as his development goes. So I also think Kevin Porter Jr. or Romeo Langford is a better fit for what Miami needs over Brandon
yes.
Clark, and at some point, you do have to draft for fit. At some point, you have to recognize that, okay, Brandon Clark is really good,
yes.
but Bam Adebayo plays that time. Right. Bam Adebayo basically plays that same role for us right now, and we're banking on Bam. We like what we've seen from him so far, so no reason to replace that. Now, what if there's a team then that sees Brandon Clark there at 13 and is sitting there at 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever it is, and calls up the Heat, offers them a bunch of future assets and stuff like that to move up? Well, then you really have to think about that if you're Miami. And that's
sure.
when the homework comes in. Like, okay, are we in love with Romeo Langford or Kevin Porter Jr.? Or are we just going to take them right now because they're the best player just left? Because if we're not in love with anybody here at 13, recognizing that the Detroit Pistons would probably scoop up one of these guys at 15 and just kind of keep it going down the line. I think, right, the Pistons pick at 15 before I mess that up. You have to be willing to lose all three of these guys if you're going to trade back. And so it depends, obviously, on the assets coming back to you in a trade. But I think that would be possible if somebody like Brandon Clarke or somebody else that isn't necessarily a fit for Miami slides and another team really loves that player and wants to move up. I think the Heat are in a position to trade back. Ultimately, I don't think that that happens. I think that if this were the scenario, they would just sort of, you know, hold their nose and take Kevin Porter Jr. and just hope it works out. But
Or you know, they could wind up selecting the player and then engaging in trade talks
right.
after they've already made that selection and seeing if a good deal kind of manifests itself. But, you know, I feel like one of the things that I think you and I are both looking for in this draft is if they're not going to get a player that's like Clark, an immediate impact player, even, you know, albeit not a huge impact, he's not going to be that kind of superstar level player. You do want to select a player who has that kind of potential. And I think Langford and Porter Jr. both show the potential to be great at some point. Now, I don't know if that'll ever manifest, and that's, you know, obviously the question whenever you're looking at the draft, but I think that's the kind of player you want. You want to hit on somebody that might not necessarily have to play right away, but can continue to grow and eventually become the superstar player that will make an impact for Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's going on in the NBA Finals right now. This is right around that zone where Giannis and Kawhi was taken.
Right.
I'm not going to say that's going to happen here, but it's not impossible. And so I do think that the Heat, you've drafted safely over the last few times you've been in this situation. Take a swing. Because John Hammond came out and said with that, when he took Giannis at 15, he was asked point blank on a radio show, I think it was, did you see this coming? And he basically was like, no.
Right.
And he'd be lying if he said he were. That's why he was picked at 15, Giannis was. And he's just like, look, we didn't know idea, but this guy had so much raw skill and talent, and he was just huge and just ridiculously athletic. We're just like, let's just do it and see what happens. And sometimes that ends up being Giannis. Sometimes that ends up being Thon McCur. And you just sort of, again, I think at some point you have to take a swing here, and I think the Heat should take a swing here. So, yeah. And that swing, I think, would be Kevin Porter Jr. in this situation. This next question comes from Overland_1. Best offer the Heat could make for Bradley Beal. David, I have two of them. Oh, do you want to?
No. I mean, I don't. The thing is, whenever you get a question like this, it's not even so much about what the best offer is, because they could throw a huge offer. But are you willing to make that kind of incredible offer, knowing that it'll gut your team? And then what are you building around?
Yeah, the Heat
building
could. Bradley Beal. The Heat could offer Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, and the number 13 pick for Bradley Beal.
Right.
That would be the best offer. But I was like, yeah, I kind of saw that when we got this question. But I kind of tried to put, like, okay, best realistic offer that they should weigh.
Let's hear your options.
I got two of them. Richardson and Winslow for Beal.
Straight up. Richardson and Winslow.
Just straight up, yeah. Richardson and Winslow for Beal. The other one, I think if you offer more than that, if you're Miami, you're offering too much. I think that would get Washington to at least think about it, because if they're already trading Bradley Beal, then they've probably committed to trying to rebuild whatever this is with some young players. Richardson and Winslow would be two nice players to start that with.
Okay.
I think if they also asked for Bam, I'd say no. If they also asked for the 13th pick, I'd probably say no. I would say no.
What about one of those two, either Richardson or Winslow, along with Bam and a 13th pick?
Yeah, then the salary doesn't work. I mean, then they'd have to probably take back Dion Waiters or James Johnson, and then that means you have to, like, give them other stuff to take those.
Sure, no, I get it.
Whiteside, Richardson, and number 13.
Ooh.
For Bradley Beal and Ion Mahinmi. So the reason you throw Mahinmi in there, right, is like, okay, well, we're going to upgrade your wing. We're going to upgrade a spot for you on the wing with Josh Richardson, and we are going to upgrade the center spot with Whiteside over Mahinmi. If you're the Wizards, you don't necessarily have to worry about Whiteside's long-term contract because it's expiring. And if you're the Heat, you get Mahinmi's contract back, and he's not very good at all, but it's at least expiring at $16 million a year. So that would, I think if you're Washington, you think about this, Whiteside, Richardson, and 13, it would really make it, it would probably tip the scales if that number 13 pick were something like 7 or 8 instead. But, those would be the two. I think those are the two best packages Miami could say. You say, okay, you're going to take Whiteside, who would be an answer for you at center, and you could build around whatever that is, at least defensively, and we'll take Mahinmi off your hands. We'll also give you two young players with Richardson and the 13th pick. Or scrap all of that. You're stuck with Mahie and me, but we'll give you Richardson and Winslow for Beal straight up.
Those are interesting options. I mean, I wonder if I'm sure this has happened. If Whiteside and his representatives got back to Miami and said, "Look, we're planning on opting out," and then they wind up trading him, and then he opts out that way, would that be something that they'd be more willing to do? I mean,
I don't think you could trade a player if they've. He'd have to decide to opt in before they could trade him, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. As far as the Justice Richardson one, I mean, from Washington's perspective, and maybe this is something we'll probably answer in a question down the road here, I don't know that it's worth it for them. Like, they're getting two good players, neither of whom are the kind of players that you potentially build around. And while it signifies a teardown of sorts, I mean, how much is there left to discover in either Richardson or Winslow? Like, I think Winslow took a huge leap last year, but how much more of a leap can he possibly take?
Right.
Where from Washington's perspective, they're like, you know what, we're trading for another potential impact player who eventually could be as good or near as good as Bradley Beal.
Well, I think with Josh Richardson, he's the same age as Bradley Beal.
That's a good point.
They're both 25. So it's not like, you know, you're getting this young player, which you're getting a player who's the same age who's significantly not as good as Bradley Beal, objectively speaking. And I think if you're Washington, though, you say, okay, we get off of this Bradley Beal contract that we're about to have to pay. We've already paid John Wall. We can get two good players right now locked in to three and four more years each. So we get them locked in at a good price. It saves us.
Does that make Washington a better team?
No, it definitely does not. But if they're trading Beal, I think they understand that they're not trading Beal and becoming better right away. Okay, let's take a break here and then do some more mailbag questions. But first, today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. And Untuck It, dads come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. Ming writes in, give me your predictions for the Bros stat line averages for next season. Y'all know I love me some Justice. Interested to hear if y'all think he can make another jump. Did I miss what the Bros was?
No.
Did we make that up?
No, we did not. That was that's something they've talked about. I believe it consists of Justice, Bam, Josh, and, oh man, I'm drawing a blank now. Who was the name of that center that we had on the roster a couple of years ago that would shoot threes and he got waived?
Jordan Mickey?
Yes, Jordan Mickey. Yeah, sorry.
He was part of the Brothers?
He was. He was one of the Bros, yeah. And then it's just kind of an in-house joke.
Okay.
Where they were just like, makes you think, you know, kind of thing. That's just how they referred to themselves. And then Mickey got waived or his option wasn't picked up. And so the Bros broke up a lot sooner than they had expected them to. But yes. It's basically those three guys left, and you know, obviously the young core of this team. I don't think Derrick Jones Jr. is an unofficial member or anything like that. So I'm not sure.
Wait, so Bam's part of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So in preparation, I did not do one for Bam, so I'm going to need a minute for that one. But I'll give you my Justice Winslow one.
Let's do it.
So I figured, like, all right. Let's look at what he averaged in December, which was his best month of the season. It was sort of his turning point in his development. That was hashtag point justice. That was all of that. In December, he averaged 14.8 points per game on 41.5% or 47.5% shooting overall, 41.5% from three, 59% from free throws, 5.6 rebounds, and 4 assists a game. So I figured I had my projections for next season somewhere around those averages at 14 points per game. I don't think he's going to be a 15-point guy. He's never in college, and in the NBA, he's not averaged more than 13 points a game. I think 14 points is stretching it, but could be right where he's at. 5.6 rebounds per game and 5.2 assists. So the assists go up. On 43% shooting overall, 38% from three-point range on like two or three attempts per game, and 68% from the free throw.
Those are impressive stat lines, I think.
Yeah, 14, 5, and 5.
Does that signify a jump, in your opinion? Like, as Bing says, do you think that's more, I'm just doing what I'm capable of a little bit more consistently rather than an actual jump in production?
I think the jump in production is absolutely there because he's going a point and a half increase in points per game and a whole assist more, or more than an entire assist up. So that's, you know, two or three more baskets per game that he's producing on much more efficient clips too. Those clips are higher than his season averages. So if you could be more efficient, more productive, and, you know, he's playing this whatever ball handler role that we project him to be, whether it's point guard, point forward, whatever it is, yeah, I think that's definitely more productive. And I think that would be, like, if he just went out and averaged, you know, 14-6-5, 14-5-5, and played the stellar defense that we know he can, that's great for him. I'm happy with that from Justice.
Yeah, that's about fair. I don't know that I had any kind of specific stat line like that. I mean, I think that's pretty, I'd say that's a little optimistic, though. Like, so much of looking ahead is, obviously, no changes will take place for the roster. No huge sweeping changes. We're not going to acquire Jimmy Butler or anything like that, because if that's the case, then it's impossible to project what Justice's stat line would be next year. But there's also the potential of a leap from other guys on the roster, like, you know, Deion Waiters. We've seen him working out, and we've seen him putting in the kind of time, although you and I both expected he'll probably be coming off the bench.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then I wonder how that impacts Justice's numbers. And, you know, no Dwayne there also. He's a guy who was easy to produce a couple buckets here and there. I mean, it's difficult for me to kind of see how this roster is going to shape up and the kind of stats that they're going to be producing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at Justice, you know, obviously he had a great year. I don't know that he's capable of making another huge leap like Mink suggests. And I certainly don't expect Josh to make another leap either. I think what we saw from him last year is probably pretty consistent with where he'll be this year.
I agree with that. I'd agree with that from Josh Richardson. Bam Adebayo is obviously going to take a leap, I think.
That's the biggest one, yes.
Here's my stat projection. 13.7 points per game, 11.2 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.3 steals, and 1.2 blocks. Those are very specific, but those are my projections. Those are his per 36 minutes numbers last year. So I think he's going to play 30-plus minutes a game next year. And so I gave you the per 36 numbers. He'll probably be right around there. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I think that's realistic. I think that the team is noticing a shift in the talent on this roster and the youth movement, et cetera. And I think they're probably going to be all in as we suggested in the past, as far as this young core is concerned. And Bam seems to be a big part of that. Yeah. I mean, I do expect bigger things from him. I think he is probably the guy most likely to show that kind of improvement. Yeah, that's about it. Do you see a three-point shot developing for Bam next year?
Yes.
Or too early for that still?
No, next year, no. Eventually, yeah. He'll get that He'll get that mid-range going a little bit first.
Still averaging less than an attempt per game as far as his three-point shot?
Probably. Yeah. In Spoelstra's offense, I think so. Chicarito Marito asks, who is the best build-around player not named LeBron or Durant? Not the best singular talent, the best build-around. Assume Giannis never develops a shot. Is it Kawhi? A player who transcends what's currently in vogue in terms of NBA playing style. Well, you know, there's a player that transcends what's currently in vogue is Hassan Whiteside. He just completely zags when everybody else is zigging towards efficiency and whatnot.
So. Had to throw that dig in on Hassan. You make a good point. I mean, not being your own unique player doesn't necessarily make you a good or effective one. So that's not, the two things don't necessarily equate there.
So who's the best build around player? I mean, if Giannis never even develops a shot, is it still Giannis? Is it also Kawhi? These two guys, Kawhi obviously is going to be playing in the NBA Finals later this week. Is it one of those guys or someone else? Is it James Harden's a great answer? I think Harden's definitely up there. Steph Curry, I would say it would be Curry. I still think he is. I think what we've seen from him without Durant, putting up 36 points per game. You know, he's still, his gravity from the three-point arc is he just demands so much attention. It allows other players to just do so much more. All of a sudden now, if you have Steph in that backcourt, you don't really have to worry about getting a whole lot of shooting from the rest of the roster, so it allows you to get guys like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, who can do all these other things so well, but would be kind of rendered ineffective in a lot of different situations because they can't shoot. But because Curry demands your attention so much, it doesn't necessarily matter that they can't shoot. So they're allowed to play make and play great defense and rebound and just kind of play the savvy basketball that they're able to do. And so I think because Steph's shooting and his playmaking from that point guard spot just opens so many things up, not only as a player on the court, but from a team building perspective too. So I'll go with Steph.
It's a tough one to see how he would fit in any other kind of roster. Like, would he be half as effective without, you know, Draymond and Klay Thompson there to kind of provide a pressure release when he's not necessarily, when his shot's not as falling as effectively as it has in the past?
No, I think there's definitely part of that. I mean, you can look at, you know, the difference between Steph Curry with Mark Jackson and the difference between Steph Curry with Steve Kerr is huge. Mm-hmm. But we also remember watching Steph in those NBA playoffs where I think it was that Clippers series where you're just watching it and you're like, this dude's going to be really special. Yeah, no, like, and that was under Mark Jackson trying to be like, no, you should take more mid-range shots and let's post up Klay Thompson more, you know? You know, David Lee.
I think Mark Jackson should replace Eric Spoelstra in Miami. Jesus, you know, he's got a connection with Pat Riley there. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Hey, put him on the bench. They're looking to replace Juwan Howard. So,
that's the kind of presence you want among your assistant coaches. It kind of sounds like hiring Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I was just about to say. So who's your guy? Who's your build around guy?
You know, I was thinking about this. We had talked about it before we started recording. Kawhi seems like a likely option, but, you know, just because of his two-way ability and everything else. At the same time, I have questions about his health long-term. Like, okay. We're seeing a better version of him in the playoffs, a guy who's being asked to carry a huge load, and more often than not, he's been capable of doing so. But I'm not sure if that's something I'd necessarily want to build around for too long. And if you're looking at a player like that, I kind of think it's probably more likely, in my opinion, Giannis or Harden, to be honest with you. I think Harden's defensive woes are kind of overstated at this point. Mm-hmm. And he's just such a unique player, and he can command so much attention offensively, almost as much gravity as Curry in his own way.
Yeah.
That I think it makes it easier to build a team around him. Like, there are also concerns about his attitude and his fit and things of that sort, so I'm not sure. I don't feel like Curry's humble necessarily, but I feel like he's more, what's the word I'm looking
for? He's deferential.
He's willing and capable of deferring, yeah. Which is something a lot of superstar players cannot do.
And that's like the thing that we're hearing this right out of Houston right now, is that Chris Paul and Mike D'Antoni thought that, or it was Chris Paul and Daryl Morey, I don't know, somebody said that Harden should probably give the ball up a little bit more towards the end of the games in that Warriors series in the semifinals, but... I think Harden's a fine answer.
He's not mine. Okay. Though. He's not mine. It's Giannis.
Yeah, I think Giannis is great, even without the jump shot. You know, according to
exactly. He doesn't have it now. Yeah, and he's an MVP candidate. Yeah. I mean, I think if you can get that kind of player, and that's not to say that Kawhi wouldn't have been if he had played more games. I think that's probably the case too. But I think Giannis is probably an incredible talent, and I think that shot will come. To be honest with you, I don't see any reason why it won't.
Let's take a quick break here. Today's show is brought to you by Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, moms, wives. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries a low profile with the buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. And today, Grip 6 is a special offer for you. Check it out at grip6.com/lock. And remember to get this podcast every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and constantly updated new features. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Thank you to our sponsors, Hotel.com. Thank you to Untuckit, and thank you to Grip 6 Belts. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. All right, lightning round, David. This one comes from Tamisha, who writes in, will trades happen on draft night for the Heat? Yes.
Yes, they will. I think there's just too many players out there that they're willing to move, and I think they're probably likely to trade down as well. So I think that's a big
case. You're really banking on the trade down thing.
I think that's their style. I think they're necessarily, you know, whoever they might be sold on at 13 might not be available there. So why not kind of trade down? And if you can move another player on that roster, they've been active. We've heard this before. And I think they're probably likely to make a move on draft night.
Zach writes in, odds of a star on the Heat next year. Here's my odds. 22%.
Whoa, that's kind of high.
You think?
I'd say 10%. Okay. Yeah, I think 10% for me. I mean, these draft night trades, should they happen, will probably be more kind of ancillary moves on the periphery, not necessarily we're not trading Deion Waiters and Kelly Olynyk for, you know, a superstar or anything like that.
Oh, we're not?
No, sorry.
Does Mike Conley or Jimmy Butler count as a star? Because if they do, I have it at 22%. If not, then I have it.
Butler or Conley?
Yeah, Butler or Conley. Yeah, I think that's a star. I think they would sell those players as stars, right?
Butler, yes. Conley, no. I can't say that.
I think if you're the Heat marketing, you sell that player as a star.
Yes, no doubt. But I don't know that that's the reality either.
Okay. Well, I have Mike Conley as a star. So
there you go.
22%. King Jal writes in, I want to know why you are all so negative about the Heat's players when you do mock trades or compare to other teams' players. I heard you when you were talking about maybe trading for Tobias Harris a few weeks ago. I know our players aren't the best, but you all overvalue other teams' players. David, what did we do with the Tobias Harris trade? I forgot.
I can't recall the specifics of it. I feel like this is a long-standing question, and I feel, King Jal, first of all, thank you for listening to our show, as always. But at the same time, look, Wes and I have always said that one of the things that makes us stand out as far as other Heat podcasts or even just our focus on Miami is that we have more of a unbiased national perspective. And I think that's a result of the fact that we cover the NBA at large, that we're in every locker room, not just Miami's, that we're not trying to placate to Heat PR or the Heat front office or anything along those lines. That's not our goal. We've spoken to scouts. We've spoken to coaches. We've spoken to guys from other teams. We do this all the time. We speak to media, you know, from all over the country about other teams. And so I think one of the things that you notice whenever you cover any team is that their fans will invariably overvalue players on those teams. And I think that's the case for Miami Heat fans as well. You know, Josh Richardson is a star. Justice Winslow is a star. Bam Adebayo is a star. The reality is nobody on this Heat team is a star just yet. It doesn't seem likely that they will. And I think that's pretty fair. And so when we're looking at a mock draft or a mock trade for Tobias Harris, I think you look at the fact that Harris is probably widely considered around the league to be a much better player than anybody on the Heat roster right now. And that's despite the fact that he's been traded away six times over the course of his career?
And he is. I mean, he is a better player than anybody on the Heat right now. Like, I don't think that we're breaking rules by saying... I don't think that... Like, if you're a Heat fan and you hear that, I understand that that sucks because Tobias Harris was maybe the fourth or fifth best player on the Philadelphia 76ers.
Right.
But you know what? Philly was also in the playoffs with a team that didn't make any sense. They were in the playoffs on sheer talent alone. The Heat had a roster that didn't make sense. They don't have a ton of talent. And guess what? They missed the playoffs. So it's not like we're talking about some team that is the fourth or fifth or sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, and we're just, like, crapping on them. You know? Like, this is just a team that wasn't in the playoffs. This is a team that was in the lottery. This is a team that had ping pong balls on the line. This team isn't very good. And I don't think... they just aren't. And I know that maybe... Look, I do think that... I don't think that we never necessarily undervalue the players. It's just that, why would another team trade for any of these guys? That's how we're thinking. Like, there's just, they don't, like, the Heat have no leverage. Their players don't necessarily have a ton of leverage. And the situation doesn't really make a lot of sense for Miami because of their cap situation and their limited flexibility and all this stuff. Like, they just don't, they don't have a lot of assets. Like, they just don't have a lot of leverage in these mock trades that we're doing. And so, you end up with Tyler Johnson for Ryan Anderson. And so you just go back to the reality of things, and that's what's bearing out here. So, and by the way, I love Justice Winslow. There were very few players that if you were to ask me to make the decision, I would trade Justice Winslow for. One of my favorite players in the league. I don't want to see Justice go anywhere else. I want to see it work out for him in Miami.
Right.
But if I just don't know that that's going to happen, and you're not trading Justice Winslow for LeBron James. Not happening.
Yeah. One more thing, if I can.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you and I have talked to... I mean, I think everybody on this roster, maybe with the exception of Ryan Anderson, I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I mean, we personally, you can personally like every one of these players. I personally like Tyler Johnson. I did not personally like Tyler Johnson's contract, nor do I necessarily like Tyler Johnson's skill set level. Yeah. You know, there's a big separation there. And I think
Deion Waiters is one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. He was one of the first team I ever covered in a locker room, and Deion Waiters was as magnetic as you can possibly get. And I've told that story several times on different podcasts. I mean, I love Josh Richardson personally. I love his work ethic. I did a great profile about him and talked to his family and everything else. And you did the same thing for Justice. You can like these players personally and still unbiased, you know, look at their skill levels and compare it to players around the league and say, you know what, they don't measure up. And
that's Whiteside has made me verbally laugh in locker rooms.
Oh yeah,
I will continue to crap on him on almost every podcast. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Julie writes in: is there any chance of KD ending up on the Heat's roster? No, the Heat's roster sucks. Why would he ever join the Heat roster?
I'd add to that, but if he does leave Golden State, it's because he has an idea of where he wants to play, and I can't imagine Miami swooping in there with Pat Riley and 18 rings and say, you want to join here, you want to come to Miami and be the superstar that this team so desperately needs.
Play off of Justice Winslow.
Yeah. Plus, the roster sucks.
Thanks for listening. Connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.